All right, let me get started. I kind of talked a lot yesterday, but I think it was an outstanding team victory for us. I'll start with special teams, of course. Phil Dawson had a milestone game. He had his 300 and 301 field goals, and he's 26 of 27 this year, so hard to argue with that. He's been an outstanding player around here for a long time. I did tell you he was a little freaked before the game because he told me that in every milestone game that he's had, the team hadn't done so well. But I assured him that it was going to be okay, and I'm glad I was right. And then, of course, the punt return by Travis Benjamin was an outstanding effort. There, obviously, when you have a play like that, there's some terrific blocks, and then Travis had the skill and ability to make it count. So, and then generally speaking, I thought our coverage units were really good. Our special teams I think they've done an outstanding job this year, and we finally marked it with a big touchdown. So that was good. On defense, of course, we allowed 7 points in 12 seconds, and then no more after that. And so this is about eliminating points or keeping them from scoring and then scoring points. And so that was good. We had 5 sacks, 4 by defensive linemen. And I think we controlled the run game for the most part. And so I credit the defensive coach. I thought the coaches called an outstanding game in all 3 phases, and it showed up. The players executed well. So I think they ought to be commended. Offensively, we scored 23 points, and I think that's what's important. And we didn't turn the ball over. I think we're +8 in turnovers, and that's a huge contributing factor to winning. I talk about our young football team. I think we've had 72 starts by rookies. The next highest is 44, and I'm not sure what team that is. But that's good for the future because we're finally starting to find out how to win football games with these young players, and I think that's good. So we had some other players that distinguished themselves in the game. Of course, Josh Gordon had another productive game. I thought Greg Little played as well yesterday as he's played in all phases of playing receiver. And then, of course, Montario Hardesty did a very nice job. And I'm proud of how he's handled himself this year. And I think he's made the most of his opportunities. And, I think he did a nice job. So there's a lot going on. I'm sure you've got specific questions. So I will, I'll take your questions.
Break out the wishbone this week?
No, I don't think so. It's funny, we got credit for being tricky. That reverse we ran to Travis Benjamin, we've run that play 5 times this year already. If you remember, we even had bigger success with it when we started the year against Philly with it. We tossed the ball to Greg Little last year a couple of times. And then, of course, the 2 Wildcat plays, I think. I was kind of waiting to see the reaction when they came, and we got a 3-yard gain and we almost scored a touchdown. Quite frankly, I challenged that play because I did think, based on the replay I saw, and then, of course, the instruction from the press box that he got in. And then I also was, I wanted Josh to have a touchdown. And so I thought that was worth it. We saw when they got the ball to the 3-yard line, they didn't score. So it's never a guarantee. So when it's that close, I think it's worth it at times.
To do a little more and try a little bit more. How much does that have to do with just your trust and confidence in a young team? You've had a lot of young guys handling the ball.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're breaking in a young bunch of guys, first and foremost, they got to learn to line up and play. And then as time goes on, you can do more things. We always have those things in our plan, and it's there's just sometimes where it's not the right time to call them. And we got some situations. We had 3rd and long in the red zone, and we knew they would play it soft. And that actually, that pitch to Greg Little was not a red zone play, but we figured it might be worth a shot, and we ended up being pretty successful with it.
Think of the merits of the pistol formation, and do you see a future?
The pistol. That's a good question, being that we're getting ready to play the Redskins, and that's a lot of what they do. It's a 2-back shotgun formation where the running back stands behind the quarterback. That's the essence. That's really, as opposed to being in the shotgun, and if you had a single running back, he'd be on one side or the other. There's a little bit more of a play action component. There's a little bit more of a balance. Am I going to run right or left component to it? And you can do some of the things if you want to put another running back in there that you can do from a two-back set in the shotgun. And so, yeah, there's merit to it, and I think that's why you see some people doing it. We did one formation, and we tried to throw a quick screen that was batted down. So, yeah.
When you have Phil Dawson, does that sometimes influence red zone play calling or mindset?
No, I don't think so. I do know this, though. You know, we had a situation there where we scored twice, and for whatever reason, you know, we didn't get lined up on the first one to Ben Watson, and of course, then we threw it to Trent where they called. And so then you get a third and long situation where you're backed up. Now, in third down, what you don't want is a sack, right? And then you do want to, you know, your chances of making the third and goal or from the 18 are minimized. So then what you want to try to do is call a play that'll give you a chance to score. But if you don't score, then, of course, you want to advance the football. And so I think that's kind of how you do it, regardless of who your kicker is.
How much have you guys had a chance to watch the end of the – or watch the Washington game yet? My question is, how much different was their offense once Cousins came into the game? Or was it the exact – did they run the exact same thing?
No, they run in similar plays. You know, the one thing about the Redskins' offense, it's very balanced. Its passing game is West Coast in principle. And, of course, we've all seen what they've done utilizing the skill and ability of RG3. So it's multidimensional, and we have to prepare for that regardless of who's playing quarterback. I really studied up on Cousins, you know, he was a Michigan State guy. I knew a lot about him, of course, and then studied him. He was one of the most outstanding people you're going to ever meet in the draft, and we liked him quite a bit. And so the fact that he came in and had success did not surprise me.
Pretty good preseason too, didn't he?
Sure.
Some of the times that you
yeah.
got to see him.
No, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback, and he went in and helped his team win a game yesterday.
And some of those fun plays you described yesterday were inside the red zone and just outside. Was some of that with the thought process to loosen the guys up? But you guys have struggled trying to get the ball in the end zone.
No, like I said, the pitch to Greg Little was not necessarily a red zone play. And then of course the Wildcat plays you can run anywhere. You know, it's just some of those fancy runs, so to speak, apply in the red zone and on third down, and that's kind of how we use them.
What do you get the stats after game?
Yeah.
When you look at what Brandon did, do you look at turnovers first, percentage yards, touchdowns, or what do you?
Well, I double check to make sure that it says win on there first, and I think that's the most important thing. And then regardless, I really don't spend too much time looking at them. I really don't. And you may say, yeah, right. But that is the case. I have a pretty good feeling coming off the field how I think a player's played. And, you know, that I basically wait to confirm it then on tape. But what's most important is, of course, we want to take care of the football. We want to be efficient. So you want to complete 65% of your balls. I've got my little benchmarks and guidelines. And then it all comes down to decision-making and accuracy and doing the right thing with the football. You know, and I think on each play you can grade a quarterback that way.
It's kind of silly to ask how you measure intangibles. What intangibles do you rank highest? Would that be decision-making?
Yeah, decision-making. And sometimes a good decision is throwing the ball away. Sometimes a good decision is scrambling like you did on the first play of the game. That was the hardest, roughest-looking slide I've ever seen. He took a chunk of turf out of there. I thought they were going to stop the game and bring out a dump truck. I mean, being a baseball player, I thought it would look a little easier, but I go, whoa. Pitcher, though. Yeah, that's right, pitcher, right. So anyways, those in my mind go in his bucket as – being good decisions, and then sometimes the bad decisions are obvious to all of us.
The fact that the punt return with Benjamin that happened at the quarter change, did that make it easier for you to sneak him onto the field?
No, not really. We had we had decided to do that based on where we were on the field. You know, that's how we decided to do it. And that was one where we schemed it up a little bit and brought Josh from center field and brought him into the rush and then ran Travis back. So it probably looked a little bit different to the Chiefs, and then we were able to make it work.
Getting back to Cousins for a second, because you said did you obviously talk to him at the draft? And you said,
oh, yeah, I know a lot about him. I talked to him numerous times, you know, as we went through last year's draft evaluation process. He's a very mature guy. I liked the way he led. He was very efficient, won a lot of football games. You know, all the things that you look for in a player. And I'm not surprised. Some people may say, well, they were surprised they drafted him along with RG3, but I thought he was a good player, and I'm not surprised that he was drafted.
Did you guys give any thought to that?
We liked him, yeah. I mean, we liked him quite a bit.
A little bit about the fact that here you are with three games left in the season and you're still at least in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to focus on that, and I'm going to go right back to it. Our energy, our efforts are all going to be directed toward the Redskins, and I think that's where we need to be. It's a little bit easier to be short-sighted and narrow-minded with three games to play. And I think we have to make sure we stay in the moment and stay there. Because we all know chances and the math changes in those situations if you don't take care of business this weekend. And so that needs to be our focus.
Is that a tempting carrot to think about, though?
No. Because I've been in this position in Philadelphia. We danced around this all the time. And I know what works is you focus on the next game. Sure. Sure. I'm going to learn a lot about our team this week as we prepare. And then when we play against an outstanding Redskins team, we're going to learn more and so on and so forth. And I think that's exciting for me.
What's the one thing you've learned about this team from when you guys were struggling to get wins earlier to now? Just of all the things, what's the thing that jumps out at you?
Well, I think what I've learned from this team is that we've proven that we can finish a ball game. Now, how many in a row we can do, we'll see. But we've proven that we can find a way to make more plays than the other team and win a game. We didn't prove that to ourselves early in the year when we started 0-5, you know. But I knew it was there, you know, just a matter of doing it. So that's what I've learned from this team. I've learned that we can have some extremely bad stuff happen early in the game and fight back from it. We had a pick six against the Steelers. You know, we had an 80-yard run against the Chiefs, and we found a way to come back from that. So those are all things that are necessary if you're going to build a consistent winner.
Can you point to a moment or whatever when you did learn how to finish these games? Was it that Pittsburgh game or somewhere in that game or whatever?
The first victory. You know? I mean, the first victory this year, because that's what it comes down to. All the teams in the NFL are good, and all the teams battle. And, you know, our team finds a way to play hard and give ourselves a chance. And just early on, we didn't do what we had to do to finish. And so when you start winning games, then that means you're finding a way to finish.
Terry was me. Did he ever look this explosive last season?
No. I think he looked different to me. I think we talked about it. We can all go back to our notes. He looked different to me at the start of training camp, and I think it's carried through this season.
As far as you're concerned, are you able to put enough blinders on that some of these rumors, you know, there were more rumors again over the weekend about, you know, different things, changes being made. Do you have the blinders on enough that this stuff is not affecting you?
Listen, I'm not worried about any of that. I don't control that. I'm not worried about saving. I'm worried about doing my job. And that's it. Just want to do my job.
Why did you say Little had the best game in all phases?
He caught the football well. And then when you watch the game, I mean, he's a physical guy. He rattles around in there and blocks pretty well. And some of the things he did just playing the game, you know. I think there's – you grade players on every play, and I thought he had a very good game. He had production, which allows me to say it. And then, of course, he did other things when he did not have the football that I thought were good.
And like Craig Robertson showed up mm-hmm. yesterday, said that one hit –
it's Peyton, yeah. Yeah, well, they threw the ball in that play you're talking about. That was a big play because they threw the ball in the flat. And we've seen numerous times where you may not miss the tackle, but he edges you and gets the first. And I thought Craig did a nice job. He actually played very well. Played very well throughout the game. And but that was one play, of course, that was obvious.
In terms of future growth of the offense in particular, you mentioned being able to do more things as part of growing right. up together. When would no huddling, you know, when you want to come into play? I mean, is that something?
I think there's yeah. I think there's a place for it. I don't think we know huddle when we go 2 minute. It's the same thing. You just take the time factor out of it. We feel like we have good plays. We like to move around. We like to change personnel. We feel like we can control tempo from the huddle. And again, what's most important is that you do what your guys are good at. And it's basic. What happens is I think you got to guard against this a little bit. We did some things that on the outside looked a little bit tricky, but you have to play fundamental football. Playing offense just isn't a bunch of bag of tricks. And, you know, we've established a little bit of a balance, right, in the run game and the passing game. Well, that because we want to put the ball in Trent's hands and Montero's hands. And so, you know, it's about being able to play fundamental football. And I think you need to start there and end there. And then if there's some things in there that are exciting and you get an ooh and ah, that's good too.
Is it for you to see all this hard work and this whole season and all these young guys translating into victories enough for 5 wins in your last 8 games?
You know, I think what's most satisfying for me is to see these guys near the end of the game and then in the locker room truly enjoy victory because we as coaches know how much these guys put into it. And I'm glad that they're able to experience that. And it becomes intoxicating, and they want to do it more and more and more. And I think it's one of those things that drives you.
It seems like you're really developing, I know you've had it all along, but a deep affinity for this team, for these players. I mean, you could just see it in the way that you dealt with Montero yesterday, talking about Josh Cripps, that you wanted him to get in despite, you know, yeah. him popping off. I mean, can you talk about that?
Well, I've always been fond of our team. And I think what I like about this team is they're tough, they play hard, and when we ask them to do things, they respond. They're a very coachable group of guys. There's a mixture of young guys and older guys that have been around here a long time. And when you see it all come together and they have success, that's, as a teacher or a coach, that's where you get your joy.
How much attention are you paid up? Whether RG3, you know, the knee reports and the health reports. And I know you guys put the game plans together tomorrow. How much will it affect, the uncertainty affect that?
Yeah, you know, we have to prepare for their offense, you know, and they have some elements of option football. They have elements of drop back pass. They're an off-tackle zone running team. And then they do have their wrinkles. And so we have to prepare for all that. We cannot stop, you know, the preparation worrying about who's going to play, because I'm sure there's elements of drop back football and option game that both the quarterbacks that might play can execute. So we have to get ready for that.
Do you ever, in any quiet moment, think what if, you know, like the Dallas game?
Nope. I'll finish your question for you. Nope. You don't do that. You cannot do that. And you just keep going forward. I don't know. Some coaches might. I do not play the what-if game. I don't. Just keep going that way.
Hey, Pat, you talked about the players learning how to close, learning how to win games. What have you learned about yourself in coaching and putting these guys in position to close the game and win the game?
Oh, I don't know. I think we all get better when we do things longer and longer. And, you know, we always want to put our players in the best chance or best possible position to do their job. And so that's the things that we keep searching for. We try to manage the game the best we can to give them the best chance to win. I think the longer I do it, the longer this group of coaches who've done an outstanding job. You know, I sit up here and talk about it, but these guys behind the scenes are outstanding teachers and terrific men, and our players respond well to them. And so I guess as we all work together, we operate smoother, and I think that's what I'm learning.
Is there one thing in particular that you've noticed over the course of maybe 5 or 6 weeks?
About me?
Yeah.
These games are never over till they're over. You know, I think that's important. I never felt in at any time yesterday that thing was over until we finally took a knee.
Yeah, Peyton,
go ahead.
They called a penalty on number 46. That number's been retired for 50 years.
You know, it's funny you say that because I used that line yesterday, okay? I said... You know, I said 46 because I knew it was, you know, I knew it was retired. I said, that number's retired. Well, it was the receiver running in. I said, you know, that's how they say it then. Yeah.
Did they come to you and tell you who it really was, or is it?
Yeah.
Or do they really believe
there's really some interesting conversation that goes on, as you might expect. But, like, you know, everybody's trying to get it right. You know, and numbers flash and they see bodies and, you know, officials are – really trained to watch a certain position and what that position does. And so when they see the guy run in there and do what they think they saw him do, then they kind of look in the pile. But that happens a lot where the number's not quite right. And then we go back and look, and it wasn't 76, it was 66, or, you know, that happens. The fact that the number was retired was kind of a funny thing, though.
Yeah. The Redskins' offense than traditional offenses. Are they any more difficult to prepare for because you don't see a lot of offenses like them?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit more difficult. You know, you see offenses, and really it comes back to the skill and ability of the quarterback that you're playing with. I mean, you can group in a Colin Kaepernick and an RG3, a Cam Newton. Those style of quarterbacks that are just off the charts, outstanding athletes that can carry the football. And so then they add these elements of the option game, and they can be very effective.
You were getting to know RG3 in the pre-draft process.
Sure.
And all that. Did you think that he could be as successful as he's been this season as a rookie? And why did you? If he did, why did you?
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind he'd be a success in this league. There's no doubt. And it doesn't surprise me the success he's having. And, you know, I credit their coaching staff because they've incorporated things in their offense that utilize his skill and ability. And I think that's smart.
Obviously, there'll be a lot of stress in the defensive ends this game because of the option. I mean, mm-hmm. Does it help maybe like Jabal maybe played against a lot of option teams in mm-hmm. college?
Yeah, you got to go back, coaches and players, you got to go back on what you know about option football. You know, and we got, you know, wealth of knowledge there. So, yeah, anybody that's played against it and has a feel for it, it'll help them.
How much of a concern was Trent's rushing average yesterday, 2.3 or whatever it was? Any kind of concern at all?
No, I don't worry about that. Not at all. Trent banged it up in there, and I thought he had a productive game and helped us win.
I know your social calendar isn't exactly huge at this time of year, but the few times that you guys have started winning, a few times when you're out and you run into people, maybe just putting fuel in your vehicle or running in and out of someplace, what's been the reaction of fans or people around town?
I don't know. I guess you could say it's been varied, you know.
No,
but I will say this. I would say typically, though, what somebody might say without their name attached to it is not what I hear when I see somebody in person. Most people just, you know, keep working, keep grinding. That's more or less the message that I hear. But you're quite right. I don't get out much. And so, no. That's a good question. I'll keep a little notebook, I guess.
Yeah, with how everything unfolded in the offseason, if RG3 was able to play on Sunday, I mean, it's inevitable Browns fans are always going to compare Brain and RG3 because of how it happened. Do you think, knowing Brain's mentality, do you think that's going to add a little more fuel to the fire?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's natural to compare the numbers of the quarterbacks that play against one another. That's natural. I'm sure we'll all do that to some degree. But unless something's goofy, they'll never be on the field together. You know? And at the end of the day, the one that's played the best is probably the one whose team wins.
A couple more guys. The majority of the big plays in school are made by rookies. What do you
attribute?
Is it just confidence that they hit that level, or
Well, it's probably a combination of both. I think they're developing a confidence to do things. And then, heck, they're out there playing a lot, so they're getting their opportunity, you know. And so when those two meet, then you have a chance.